Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Dr. Eileen, and this is Healing House Radio. I hope your Thursday and your whole week is going wonderfully. And today we are going to be talking about sleep. How does it affect us? How does the lack of it affect us? How does it prevent us from being able to enjoy life to the fullest? And what are some of the other cultural views on sleep? What happens to us? Where does our spirit go? So for those of you who are our friends down in the LA area, you can call in at 424-258-9337. And for those of you who are pretty much everywhere else, including the beautiful Bay Area, the call-in number is toll-free 877-697-9725. So today, let's talk about sleep. One of the things that comes up is, you know, what's the difference between, say, sleep deprivation and sleep apnea? Now, there's a lot of people who suffer from sleep apnea. And what that is, it's pretty much specifically the fact that during your sleep, you stop breathing. And this could happen multiple times during the night. And what this can lead to is sleep deprivation. What sleep deprivation is basically not having enough sleep. It can be chronic, it can be acute, it can occur once in a while, or it can occur every night. That for some reason, your body is not able to reach the deepest levels of sleep, which are generally referred to as REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement. It is theorized that that is the point when we're dreaming. And some really interesting things happen during REM sleep. And one of the interesting things is normally there is a body-wide paralysis that occurs. And pretty much it just means that when you're in that state, when you're at that point, you are going to remain quiet. Now, when we cannot get into REM sleep, that sleep paralysis does not trigger, and that's when there can be flailing around, there can be moving around, there can be a condition called restless leg syndrome or restless limb syndrome, where for some reason a part of you will just begin to vibrate, it'll begin to twitch, and it can really, really be hard on the folks who are, you know, trying to get sleep and you can't. So let's first look at how much sleep do we need? And there's a lot of variety in that question because it really depends very much on the age group. It also can be affected by your activity level. So just kind of as a rule of thumb, you know, based on research that's gone out, infants require about 16 hours of sleep a day. And if anybody has ever been around a baby or toddler that just is way too tired, you know what I'm talking about. And it's almost as though they reach that place of they're too tired to sleep. And you really have to work on allowing them to relax and go into a natural sleep state. Now, teenagers need about 9 hours of sleep on the average. And what this is really being hit by is, you know, the schedules of a lot of teenagers. I mean, you know, they have late nights, they're up texting or, you know, on the computer. The desire to pull an all-nighter that, you know, you stay up all night, you're studying or you're working. And really, that the all-nighter actually will cut your body's ability to remember anything. And we're going to go into that a little bit more later. So 9 hours for teenagers. And most adults need 7 to 8 hours a night of sleep. And, you know, some may need as few as 5 hours, or some may need as much as 10. And for women who are pregnant, it's almost constant sleep. You just always feel that sense of fatigue because your body is doing a lot of work to, you know, be able to support not just one system, but two. So when we look at the effects of not being able to have enough sleep, I mean, it really runs across the board. There can be aching muscles. There can be confusion. There could be depression. There could be hallucination, tremors, headaches, irritability, which we all know when there isn't enough sleep, people get irritable. It can also simulate attention deficit disorder types of symptoms. It can go as far as psychosis. And it can take a serious toll on our bodies. It can affect the heart rate. It can affect diabetes, type 2 diabetes specifically. So when we look at sleep deprivation, it's kind of qualified in different areas. Now, it can be either that you cannot get to sleep, the mind just will not turn off, or it can go into the place where you are able to fall asleep, but at some point you wake up, and there's a lot of folks who will go into, a specific time. They'll say, you know what, 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I cannot get back to sleep. And some of you may have experienced that. Now, remember, we will experience these things every once in a while. You know, everybody will have those times where either stress or whatever it is that's on your mind that prevents you from going into that relaxed state, you experience it, you're okay, you know, I'll get more sleep, I'll go to bed early the next day, some people take a sleep aid, some people utilize melatonin, which is supposed to re-regulate your body's clock to allow you to sleep at an appropriate time. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do for just every once in a while to have that happen. When it becomes a chronic problem, when it goes night after night after night, that's the point when it would be a good idea to seek some intervention. Possibly it may be a case of apnea where you just wake up and you're exhausted and there is that inability to get enough oxygen in the body. So when these little gaps go in where you're not actually breathing, it creates this extreme fatigue in the morning. The idea of snoring and that being a sign of sleep apnea, that there's some sort of obstruction that is preventing the air from going in and out in a comfortable way. So if you've been told that you snore, or if you're waking up and really feeling just exhausted, difficulty in concentration, the best recommendation that I could make is to go and have a sleep study done. And when they do the sleep studies, basically you are hooked up, they monitor everything, and you go to sleep. And they monitor you as you sleep. They're checking to see how much oxygen is in your system. And I have known people who have their sleep study interrupted. The scientists who are testing them stop them because their oxygen is at such a dangerous level. They say, you know what, forget it. We need to do something. And usually that is to have the person utilize a CPAP machine, which is a machine that forces oxygen into the body. And while it would take some getting used to, those who utilize that often say that it's literally a difference between night and day. And they're able to rest, they're clearer during the day, they don't feel the need to doze off during the day, and they're able to really feel a lot of better health and better clarity in their thoughts and in, you know, their processes. So when we look at the different views of the idea of what happens when we sleep, many indigenous cultures have concepts of going to another realm, another reality, the Aboriginal tradition of referring to it as the dream time. And what happens or what is believed to happen, is that when you go into that sleep state, you are able to cross into another reality. That through your dreams, guidance can come to you, visions can come to you, ancestors can come to you and relay wisdom and thoughts and to be able to supply you with answers. So when we look at that and think about our sense of spirituality, what is it that we are looking to connect with? There are folks who are able to what's called lucid dream. And basically what a lucid dream is the ability to influence the dream itself. The dreamer realizes that they're dreaming and is able to influence things within the dream without waking up. So this is really an amazing thing, and actually I myself can lucid dream. And what it does is it allows you to seek out those answers to the questions that may be bothering you, to get guidance, to move it into that place of spirituality and connecting with either your own higher self or animal totems or spiritual guides. So it's very much in alignment with the idea of going into a deep meditation, because that's very much like it. You know, often I will actually see people who are in a deep enough meditation, they'll go into a rapid eye movement state, yet they're not actually sleeping. They're going in, they've gone into a very, very deep meditation. And the idea of really bringing the brain activity, it goes down, down, down. And during rapid eye movement, the brain activity comes back up again. But they're not in what you would call a conventional sleep situation. And they can be drawn out of it, or they can draw themselves out of it with significant practice. So what do we get during that dream time? What can we tap into? What is it that we can look at from a more objective place, a place of learning and connecting deeper with our sense of spirituality? When a trance state is achieved, that is another form of going into that dream state without being asleep. And that can be done while you're even moving. You can be swirling. You can be the dervishes, the whirling dervishes, who actually go into a deep meditation, you know, spinning. And that sense of disconnection with standard time. Often when people, you know, it's like when you sleep, you wake up, you're not physically aware that 8 hours has passed. It may feel like only a few moments have passed and you've been asleep for a long time. That can also happen in meditations where you go into that deep, deep place and you come out of the meditation and maybe you feel like only 10 minutes have passed and you've been altered and out of that particular existence for hours. So looking at the importance of sleep, both from a physiological point of view, because our bodies require it. When sleep deprivation reaches a point of really affecting your body and your mind and your thought processes in a huge way, there is a lot of risk to, you know, to your health and to the health of those around you. One way that it really affects us is that idea of being sleepy on the road. I mean, how many times have any of us been driving along and it's late, we want to get home or we need to get to where we're going, and maybe under normal circumstances where we would have pulled over and stopped, maybe napped for a little while, but we keep going and then you get that head jerk thing and suddenly, you know, you're doing this big correction. It really is dangerous, and there are thousands and thousands of lives lost every single year because of the fact that someone did not stop and honor what their body was telling them. Because really a big part of this is understanding what our body is telling us in any given time. how often do we really pay attention to what it is that our body and our spirit, you know, and our minds are telling us? I mean, maybe you have to be awake and alert, and especially in the case where you're being a caregiver, maybe something, you know, very difficult has happened to a family member and they need support and you want to be there for them, so you're staying at the bedside or you're taking care of them, and you are not sleeping, you're not resting, you're probably not eating, you're probably not drinking enough water. Your total focus is on that person, which is wonderful. And if you cannot take the time to take care of yourself, if you cannot make the demand of those around you or someone that, you know what, I need to go and I need to get some sleep, could you watch this person for me? Could you sit with this person for me? Or even just to be willing to accept the offer of that, because oftentimes people will offer it and there's something about us that we don't want to surrender being there with that person. And I have been through this repeatedly. You know, I've sat by the bed as someone was preparing to transition. You don't want to go and rest because you want to be there in case that moment happens. You want to be there for them, which is wonderful. Then have somebody wake you. Make sure that you are taking care of yourself. Caregivers, I pray for all the caregivers of the world each and every day, and I hold you in a special place in my heart because I know that that is not an easy thing to do. It is a tremendously hard, tremendously taxing process, and by creating sleep deprivation in ourselves, it makes it that much harder. So that really when that moment comes, when that person needs us, we may not be able to be there for them in the best way. Now, one of the things that when there is sleep deprivation that goes for quite a while, there's something called microsleeps. And I really want to touch on this because this is the type of thing that when somebody has pushed themselves beyond their limits, beyond where they should be, and they are unable to get that sleep, unable to get that rest, microsleeps happen when the brain basically shuts down and you will go into a deep sleep state just by virtue of, you know, the brain saying, you know what, this person is not showing any good sense, so I need to go offline for a while. I need to shut down. And that can last anywhere from seconds to up to a minute. And it's very similar to the idea of narcolepsy. There is no warning. You just shut off. And so this is tremendously dangerous if you are a caregiver, if you are driving, if you need to be awake for something in particular because they can occur at any time. So the idea of pushing your body to the point of where it has decided that it needs to take over and shut you off for, you know, even up to a minute, that can be a very, very difficult, you know, thing in order to pattern your life around. And I really want to encourage everybody that if you know somebody who is going through this, if you have a coworker, a family member who is just constantly nodding off, who complains about not being able to sleep, who shows uncharacteristic irritability. I mean, we can all be kind of cranky sometimes. But the idea that somebody is going through something, I mean, we can tell. We can tell when something is different, when something is not right. And it is really important for those we love that we want to take care of to let them know. I mean, and you're probably going to get a huge argument. You're going to, well, I just can't rest right now. I can't do this. I've got all this stuff to do. And all of the reasons and all the story that goes with it, keep an eye on that person. Watch over them. If you can offer to take over or step into something, do it. Or figure out a way to have them go and speak to somebody about it. If it's coming from stress, if it's coming from anxiety, because that sort of thing, the less you sleep, the more anxious you become. So it becomes this perpetual motion that just spins totally out of control. It's important to know when we need to ask for help, when we need to offer help, when somebody needs us and when we need somebody else. And if it's us saying, no, I can't sleep, I've got all of this to do, I've got that to do, I've got these pressures, don't you understand? If we're the ones spinning that story, we really need to find someone in our lives who we can trust enough to allow them to say, you know what, you're not handling this. You need to get some rest. You need to get some sleep. And to trust that person enough that we know that when we question our own judgment, that we can trust theirs. And this is a very, very special person in our lives. This is someone who we are willing to surrender part of our control to that person, that if they come up and say, you know what, this is not working, that we'll believe them and that we'll trust them. And it is very special to have that type of an agreement between two people or between a group of people. It is about supporting. It is about identifying something that doesn't work and to bring that into a place of balance. We cannot be balanced. We cannot find balance without help. We cannot hold that place of being able to look at things objectively without sleep. It is a major problem because the world is a very, very, very stressful place right now. And there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. And I'm not talking about the whole Mayan prophecy thing. I mean, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And, you know, I have my views on that, and different people have their views on that. But what I'm talking about is the day-to-day work that we do. It is about, you know, being a parent, being a child, you know, being a caregiver, being someone that everybody comes to dump their problems on, maybe. If you're that one person that it seems that everybody calls up when there's a crisis and they want you to make it better, you are very much vulnerable to this idea of sleep deprivation. You cannot rest. And rest is so important to be able to set aside what it is we're dealing with just for a little while, just so that we can be able to find that balance point to get into that space of, all right, I don't need to be obsessed with this right now. And a part of that is taking ownership of what it is we really are responsible for. Why are you losing sleep? Are you losing sleep over a situation that you have no control over? Which is pretty much most of the time, if we have something that we can do something about, it's really not going to interrupt our sleep much because there's an opportunity for action. The aspects that ruin our night's sleep are the things that we can't do anything about those things that we feel helpless about. It is so difficult to try to solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. And it is really tough not to spin something out into the cascade of consequences. Well, if this happens, then this will happen. Then if that happens, then this worst thing will happen. And each step goes into a worse and worse place until the result is absolutely horrible when the initial problem really wasn't that bad. So when we think about the things that are keeping us from sleeping, keeping us from resting, take a look at it. If you cannot sleep, if you're laying there and you're awake, you can sit up and go into a meditation. You know, just, you know, shift yourself into a seated position and take a nice breath and then look at it. Look at what it is that, whatever the first thing on your mind that comes up, you take a look at it. Is there anything I can do about this? In some cases, I've known people who will actually do sort of a visualization where they visualize it as a little bag, and they physically will move their arm and place that bag next to the bed. And it's like, okay, this I will pick up in the morning. I don't have to think about this right now. and they'll picture whatever conflict they have, and they'll do that each time. There may be a visualization that works for you. If you're experiencing sleep deprivation, first off, do not let it continue, because even if you don't believe it's affecting you, it is. And it's affecting your relationships. It's affecting your ability to connect. Now, there are times when sleep deprivation is utilized, say, in ceremony or in a vision quest or as a part of a rite of passage. And that's a wonderful thing. Light and shadow in everything. And there's also research that's being done that for certain psychological disorders, they will actually induce sleep deprivation and then balance out the body. It's almost like doing a reset. So there's a lot of interesting things, and if you're experiencing it, I encourage you to speak to somebody about it. Either a sleep study, you know, might be appropriate for you. Talk to your doctor. Talk to, you know, if you are in therapy or if you are, you know, have access to a therapist or a counselor, speak to them, contact them. There is no reason for you not to sleep, because when you cut that part off, there's a certain aspect of yourself that you're losing. You are not able to really connect in that good way. So I wish everyone the sweetest of dreams. And if your dreams are not so sweet, take a look at them, because there may be a message in there for you. So I wish everyone a wonderful week. And for those of you who are out there and have stuff that's stressing you out, I wish you an extra wonderful week. Get a good night's sleep. Find a way to let go. And if you can't figure out a way, get some help. If you're a caregiver, my absolute blessings to you. And I hope and wish and pray for the gentlest of possible processes for those you are watching over. And I honor you for what you give, and I encourage you to find that place within yourself to be able to rest. Just let it go, my friends. At least for a little while, at least for a few hours. If you're determined, that problem will be waiting for you when you wake up. But take a look at it. Is it really something that you cannot control? And if it is, worrying about it is not going to help it. Whatever spiritual belief, if you have a spiritual belief, give that problem to that creator, however you envision it. If you don't have a particular spiritual belief, accept that the universe does what the universe does. And being able to be in that space of surrender can really lead to very restful nights. Because all it is just stuff that happens. Maybe you're scared. Figure out what's scaring you and deal with it. Find that way. Find that guidance in it. Because it is through our dreams that we can open up those extra worlds and open up the pathway that will allow us to seek those higher spiritual levels. And if you are experiencing sleep apnea, definitely get a sleep study, because there are ways that you can be helped. So everyone, please have a wonderful week. We will be back next week. Same time, same day, Thursday, 2 p.m. And for those of you who are going into the archives and listening to my shows and things like that, I really thank you. It's so wonderful that, you know, people are listening in. And I wish you all absolute blessings. And I hope that you will join me again next week. This is Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. And whatever time zone you're in, if it's bedtime, good night. And if it's morning time, good morning. And either way, I'll be back next week. And I want you all to have a wonderful, blessed, balanced day. Take care. Goodbye.